So you're listening to Recovery Radio, and my name is Denise Miller. And in the studio today, I have Steve with me, and he is a volunteer at the Latol Recovery Center. And Steve, we are so grateful to have you here today. Our co-host Johnny is away for his birthday, getting a little golf time in, and we wish him happy birthday. So happy birthday, Johnny. Hope you're having a good time. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing all right.
Great, that's good. Well, I'm so glad that you could join us today. And I was hoping maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm my name is Steve Sale. I moved up this area in the Moscow area in 2011. I used to live down there in the Medford, Oregon area. And talking about hot down there, it gets to triple digits down there in August, about 115, 120.
Yeah.
And it was so hot, and plus you get all that smoke from the forest fires that it's sucked in, and they can't get it put out because it burns in the canyons. And so they say they have to let it burn for the next rain storm, which doesn't usually down there is until the end of October.
Right.
And so when my wife Cindy wound up telling me that she passed out in the heat because she had epilepsy, once I got accepted for Social Security, I said, time to get out of there. So I got a U-Haul truck, and I made two trips, and I got us out of there to up here. My sister Linda owned a trailer down here on Palouse Highway that instead of selling it to a total stranger, she said, well, Cindy and I could move into there and keep it family. All we have to do is just pay the space rent, and we did, and which worked out really good because we have a cat and two bunny rabbits, and it's nice and cool out there. Get that nice cool air in the evening off from that breeze over the wheat fields where it come down, and it's really nice. I wound up getting a good job from Pizza Hut for about 4 to 5 years, and then when Pizza Hut slowed way down and I couldn't get very much money, I wound up getting a good offer from Service Master, and so now I'm working at Service Master. I've been there for 3 years. And they really liked me, and they made me employee of the month.
Nice.
And so then my wife, Cindy, wound up helping out at the Latol Recovery Center. And she told me that they needed help down there. And then I went down there. And I first started before I got to be a volunteer. I found out that there was people that wanted to play chess. So I was in charge of the chess committee and was trying to get my own little chess club going on where I could get people to play chess with me. And then right after that, I saw that how much work that my wife Cindy was doing down there. I thought, well, to make it less stressful and easier on her, I'll see if I can be a volunteer also. So I was accepted to be a volunteer, and now my job down there is to answer the phones and greet people when they come in and do light janitorial and cleanup work down there, so Cindy doesn't have to do that kind of stuff, and she can keep herself going to talk to other people down there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember we had Cindy on the show. I want to say, I can't remember if it was the end of last year, or no, I heard her when Nancy Casey was doing this program last year.
Yeah, I heard her on the radio too. Yeah. I listened, and that's when you had RJ and you had Charlisa with you too. And I was going down the road listening to you guys while getting ready to go to work for Service Master.
That's awesome.
And that was after 7 o'clock when you guys were on the phone with Cindy, and she sounded really good on the phone answering questions and all of that. So it's like, okay, I listened for quite a while what you guys was saying.
So back then Cindy had shared her story about recovery, but I was hoping maybe you could share a little bit on your story about recovery, or Are you a person in recovery?
Nope.
So you're helping out there, basically supporting your wife.
I'm there to help support my wife, but yeah. I also play chess because I used to be picked on in high school by big kids that made fun of me because I had a speech impairment and bad eyes, and they always called me the retarded and always said, "Oh, don't go out with Steve. He's a retard," and and mainly made me look bad. And so to be, and then they wanted to try to pick a fight with me, and I wouldn't do that. But I had a couple brothers that were would help protect me. My oldest brother William, and so now and. He always helped keep the kids from picking on me. Well, when my oldest brother, William, got killed by his wife in 2003 on Easter, and he couldn't keep me from the other middle brother, Vic, from picking on me, which he did a lot. I moved away from the area because when my brother would always come, Vic would come down to do the assessment work on his mind, he didn't even want to come and keep in contact with me. He didn't even care that I was around.
So tell me about when you started playing chess, because I think that's pretty cool if people
I started playing chess when I was at the recovery junior center. High in high school with my friend LW. We'd always start out checking out the chess pieces in high school and played it in our between classes for our homeroom break and our lunch period. We played chess a lot there, and then I got involved in a chess club in high school. And then after I graduated from high school, I went into the DeMolays, and that's like the Young Masons. And they wound up having in 82, they had a state competition called a conclave, where you go and do the ritual work and the book work. Nice. Well, I didn't do very good in that part, but then when I found out that they had a chess competition, I went into that, and it took me three stages to move up to play the different people in that, and I beat them all, and I wound up getting a trophy, big 18-inch trophy with a big old horse on it, cool. And that was gold, said Medford champion DeMolays, Steve Sale, for chess.
So let me ask you a question, Steve. So if someone comes into the Latol Recovery Center and they want to, you know, join in and learn about chess, are you or is there someone else there? How does this all work? Can someone learn how to play chess?
Yes, they can. I teach chess chess on Tuesdays between 5 and 7.
Okay, so every Tuesday between 5 and 7.
Oh, yeah, if they don't know how to play chess, I will teach them the basics and the fundamentals about all the different pieces that need to be that they know about, and I can teach them what where they move, what is inspired on how to help protect those pieces, and just the fundamentals on the chess, so they know really good on the materials of chess, so if they wind up getting involved later down the road, at least they will know how to play a decent game. And then on Thursdays, I play at an intermediate level on Thursdays with couple guys named Les and Tom who are really good, and sometimes I can beat Tom, and sometimes he beats me, but that's okay because I play for fun. And Les, I only beat him one time, and I got him in the draw, and he wound up beating me all the other times. Well, that's okay because I play for fun.
So Steve, so the intermediate is for people who have some experience.
Yeah, who's higher up that knows how to play chess that way.
That's awesome.
And I do that between 5 and 7 on Thursdays at the recovery center.
Okay, so Tuesdays between 5 and 7, you can be more of a beginner or someone who doesn't know how to play yet, and they can get some help learning how.
Yeah.
And then on Thursdays between 5 and 7, it's for people who have some experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm always into trying to find new, good new faces to play chess with. And also the reason why I play chess is to help keep me from thinking about myself of how to get over being bullied when I was a little kid that way. And instead of doing like a lot of people do when you're down and depressed about that and go do drugs or alcohol, no, I just want to use it for chess. I play chess, and then when I play chess in the summertime, the spring and the fall, when I'm not playing chess, I go fishing at Spring Valley. And that's another thing that helps keep me from getting over it. And I enjoy fishing because it's so nice and peaceful up there. And even if I don't catch anything, I can still see the eagles and the osprey fly over. And it's like God's country up there. And it's so the wind's always blowing, and it's so nice and beautiful up there. And I just like being up there. I take my wife Cindy with me, and if I catch a fish, she helps me net it, and I put it on the stringer, and that's how I supply us with food for the winter if we aren't able to get out. I clean the fish and stock the freezer full of fish that way. And some people don't like to eat the trout, but I eat it, and I haven't had anything wrong with me, and Cindy's eaten it and hasn't had anything wrong. And you got to realize that if you catch a trout, I mean, go and buy a trout the same size as you get in the store, you're paying more for it.
It's expensive.
You're paying like $15 or $20 for the fish. And the license itself right now is $30, and you can catch six fish for the price of one at the store that way. And you can use that license all year round.
That's right.
And the bad thing about getting it from the store is they only... when they put it out there, they only take the insides out. They don't take the scales off them there, the heads or the fins. I take everything off them there, so all it's ready to do is go in the frying pan when you're ready to cook it.
That's awesome. So it sounds to me like you found some things that you really enjoy doing, some things that are really positive.
Yeah.
And that's part of what recovery is. And what the Latell Recovery Center does is helps people find positive outlets to just really enjoy life, you know. And what else do you see at the Latell Recovery Center going on? What kind of things do you observe there?
Well, we just got done last week, last weekend, at the Latell Recovery Center. They went on Sunday to do a miniature golf at Airway Heights over there off from Pullman Airport Road.
Nice.
And it was really fun. I've never done miniature golf before. It was like 18 holes.
Yeah.
And I got second best over Sean. Sean had a score of 65 and I had a score of 67.
That's awesome.
And what made me do so good was I played like Happy Gilmore did on his video. I told, go in the ball hole, go in there, go home. And lined up the stick and put it in there. And so I had to be a little comical in order to be able to be really good at it. And I enjoyed it that way. So I haven't played miniature golf in a while. And it was fun doing
that's
that.
That's awesome.
And now Cindy and I are going to be doing Special Olympics on Saturday.
Oh, so, please tell me about that.
And we're doing bocce ball.
Yeah.
And that's like a size you have like a little white Polina ball that you throw out there. And it's like a size bigger than one of those golf balls almost. You throw that out there, and then you have these other balls that are a little bit bigger than a shot put.
Oh, I think I might know what you're talking about. Do you play it on a lawn?
Yeah, you play on the lawn.
That is super fun.
Between some cones that way, and you throw it next to the Polina ball, and they give you two balls per person, and if you can go and score really close to the Polina ball, you get points for that.
Yes.
And
yes.
They play for 30 minutes, and the people that score the most points within 30 minutes wind up winning. So you wind up having to practice that goes for 4 weeks, and then you go down to Lewiston down there close to the airport down there, and they have a regional with people all around the area, and you can get like first, second, and third place ribbons, and then they usually have like a barbecue.
That's awesome.
They have a dance afterwards, and it's really fun to do that. And then afterwards they got bowling, but I can't do bowling. Cindy does the bowling, but the reason why I can't is they have a practice on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. And that's my where I have my two cleaning sites with Service Master on Mondays.
Sure.
And I have to have my job go over to Service Master building next to the Java House and have my supplies in the truck by 5 o'clock and drive into Pullman because I clean the Sacred Heart Church. Mm-hmm. And that's 5.5 hours. And then I come back and clean First Step Internet. And that's usually 2 and 2.5 hours. So I'm usually done by like 1 or 1:30 in the morning. And so that's why I can't do bowling, because they have it on Mondays. If they can do it on weekends like bocce ball, I wouldn't mind doing
bowling.
So
these events, the bocce ball and stuff, how would someone find out about attending? Do you know about that?
Well, the coach is named Jill, mm-hmm. and she's in charge of that. But I think they can call the Special Olympic coordinator in Boise,
okay.
and mm-hmm. they can
and kind of direct them.
Direct them to the Jill's phone number that
Great.
Way, because
okay.
Jill works out of one of those homes for the for those special homes where they take care of the special needs people, and I
sure.
don't know which home that is mm-hmm. that she's in.
Sure.
And it's on my wife's cell phone number, because she Jill called Cindy so much, and I don't have that number.
Oh,
but
that's
she's
totally okay.
the coach in that. But
yeah.
I'm sure if they go out of Boise and ask for the Special Olympic coach up there, they
yeah.
could probably even send them an application.
That's awesome.
And they can turn it in up there, and
right.
they'd have to have a physical and take it to the doctor to have their doctor fill out the application and inform for a physical. And then if a doctor approves of it and said yeah, and then they turn that in, and then they're eligible for Special Olympics.
That's awesome. Well, that's great. So what other things are going on at the Recovery Center? I know that there's some stuff coming up in September.
Yeah, in September on the 15th, they're having a chili cook-off.
Yeah.
And that's going to be over there at the fairgrounds.
Yes.
Where they have those auctions and the art mm-hmm. Inside where they have those art exhibits and all that. And so my wife Cindy's going to be in charge of running the chili cook-off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will be helping out, passing out the raffle tickets for the door prizes and all that.
Nice.
And we have a calendar that's around town that's I will be handing those out in September, at the beginning of September, when they have that made up. Notices around town that will have that there. And so they will know when that is happening.
Yep,
so I usually pass those out. That's one of my jobs as being a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And it last year when Cindy and I attended in that, I made a kind of like a chili goulash that
yeah.
was really good and got second place on that.
That's awesome.
And I wound up getting a $25 gift certificate for Best Western in their restaurant that way.
That's a good
place
to eat.
For being second place.
Yeah, that's a good place to eat.
And
awesome.
I just was doing it to see how well I'd do. And everybody liked it. I didn't have anything left to bring home, all but an empty dish.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing.
That's
that,
awesome.
They liked the dinner. I mean, they liked my chili, and even the judges liked it. And so it's like, it was a great thing. I got there at the tail end last year because I had to, it was my first year, plus I had to do my Service Master job.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to get in on the tail end of it. By the time I got there, it was like 7 o'clock in the evening, and I wasn't able to help out very much. And
yeah.
so even though they closed it down around 9, they had like a little dance and played music and all that. And so they had the music going until about 11 o'clock from a live band. I don't remember what the band's name was, but it was really good that way, too. So And we're trying to get a band going this year. We're not sure who we're going to get, but...
For the 15th?
For the 15th, okay. At the fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But we're... It's supposed to be a fun thing for that. And they will be having... and we're also trying to come up... the event committee is trying to come up with... going to the horse museum in September that way. Mm-hmm. Having a guided tour at the horse museum just before you get out of this city line of Idaho that way.
Yes, Appaloosa.
I missed that the last time they went there, and I was hoping I could go to it this time.
I'm going to look up the Latel Recovery Site stuff for September while you're talking, so don't mind me. So the Appaloosa. And will that be in September, do you know?
They're planning on making that in September.
Great. That's awesome.
I don't know when, but we haven't discussed the time on that. And it's supposed to be either a Saturday or Sunday for that.
That's great. Well, I was just, you know, and sitting and listening, I just think it's really amazing how you and your wife, Cindy, moved here and you got connected with, she got connected with the Relate to Our Recovery Center and she started helping out, and how you as her husband came and saw some needs that needed to be done around there and came and supported her in the recovery center.
Well, my wife, Cindy, got involved in it by, when she went into her, counseling through Scott Mental Health, they had a woman's group that they had afterwards, and she went into the woman's group over there through Scott Mental Health, and she met RJ over there at the women's group. And RJ told Cindy that she works at the Latel Recovery Center and that they're always needing help down there to come down and check it out. So Cindy went down there to check out to see what they were doing. And then right after that, she saw RJ down there and saw how busy it was. And RJ talked her into... signing up to help being a volunteer. So Cindy done that, and this is the second year that she's been doing that. Plus, they also have yoga down there every Tuesday between 12 and 1, which is really nice. And also, starting in September now, John Cook told me that they're going to be getting people Tai Chi lessons, giving out Tai Chi lessons for people that don't know how to do Tai Chi. I've never done Tai Chi, but I'd like to, I'm going to learn
cool.
to do that. I used to take karate when I was younger in high school with my brothers until I hurt my hand hitting a 2x4, and then I couldn't do karate very good. So now I'm going to try to see what Tai Chi is all about. That looks like it should be fun.
That does sound good. That
and that's supposed to start
that,
in
and that'll
September.
Be free. Yeah, and that'll
and
be free.
All everything that goes down involved in Latel Recovery, all the classes are free down there.
Yes.
And they don't ever have to pay anything for them. All they have to do is just come in.
Yes, exactly.
And they even have NA classes and AA classes down there. So anybody who's having problems with NA or AA can go there. And then on Friday nights, they have a movie and game night that where we have movies that are shown between 6:30 and 8 that way. And so it's if they want to come down and see a good movie and participate and see what's going on, they're more than welcome. It's free and it's a lot of fun down there. Sean usually runs it on Fridays anyway, so he's in charge of that on Fridays.
So it sounds like there's a lot of committed people that you can come and be a part of, you know, making friends with and joining in activities and things.
Yeah. Plus, we also have sometimes on 3 days a week we get leftover food from Good Sam's. Either Good Sam's, a nursing home, or Good Sam's, a hospital, will come and bring leftover food 3 days a week. And so anybody who wants a good meal can come on in and have join us on the meal that way, too. We have a lot of leftovers usually that isn't that sometimes we have problems being able to find someone to take them home. So If there's other people that want to come in, mm-hmm. they have that. Plus, we also get a lot of bread goods down there, like bread and dinner rolls, cakes and cupcakes mm-hmm. and muffins and all that that are donated. So they can come and help themselves on that, too, because we always need to get rid of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so it doesn't go bad.
Right, need to be able to get it ready, get it to a person so that they can have it right away.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's a really good way to do it.
You and because a lot of that stuff in the stores cost a whole lot if you get yeah. that in stores that way.
Absolutely.
And it will help, especially if you are low income or if you're homeless mm-hmm. or something like that and yeah. you have children. That will help feed the family until you know, your next time that you get your food stamps or the next time you can... make it in there to get some more food that will hold them.
So what other kind of services have you seen down there that help people? Have you noticed some people coming in and asking different kinds of questions about needs?
Oh, see.
I mean, I don't talk specifically about people with names, but I just mean,
no.
just trying to kind of get an idea. So we can definitely tell that there's activities and there's food that's brought in by local businesses. And just wondering what else you knew that maybe they helped
with. They have a class that Cindy teaches. It's called All Recovery class that she teaches. And I don't remember what days that is on. They have it written down on the chalkboard. When they go in the front door, they can look up there on the chalkboard and see which is going on, like Monday through Saturday down there. They can Sean usually writes it down what's going on the different days, and they can come in during times that we're open and see up there at the chalkboard that
and
way.
And usually I have all that information on me. I literally just moved yesterday and everything is in disarray a little bit, but you can just look up Latol Recovery Center here in Moscow,
and we also
Idaho,
have calendars
and get their phone number.
Anybody, you go in there and you can get an August calendar that will say what's going on and to anybody, and we'll give you an August calendar. We always have extras, plus we also have flyers in the on the window. And we also have something coming up from the end of the 30th to I think September 3rd or 4th called IWAR, which is these groups of people on the motorcycle are riding all over the state of Idaho to help raise money for the different recovery center all through the state. They'll start out from Sandpoint and go all the way down and they'll wind up going through Boise. So they're riding around getting donations to help
and raising
pay
awareness
for, and awareness to help pay for the different recovery centers all over the state that way.
Right, because I think there's going to be some media involved in that. I'm just kind of trying to get the word out there to each community, because I do believe there's 9 recovery centers in Idaho. I always try
there's
to remember
one
whether
in
it's
Lewiston,
8 or 9.
There's one in Coeur d'Alene that I know of. Because I heard about the one in Coeur d'Alene, and they also, according to the flyer, there's one in Sandpoint, too.
Yeah.
And there's a couple I know in Spokane, Washington. Mm-hmm. And so, and then there's one here in Moscow. They'll be coming down to Moscow and then going into Lewiston. And I'm not sure where else.
Yeah, and I want to say either, I can't remember, I went to the Phoenix last year for a training in Boise, and there was a couple of gals there, and I can't remember if it was both or one of the other, Meridian and oh, what is the other, is it Emmett? I can't remember what the other. Anyways, there are a few down that way that are outside of Boise that are recovery centers as well.
Yeah, I passed out the flyers for that, and I made sure that there was some flyers up at the Four Corners over there in Friendship Square, and made sure a lot of the bulletin boards here in town had them.
And
I even put one in the City Hall in the courthouse and up there at Rosar's and that coffee house called Bernie's Coffee House over there off of Main Street, down by Cactus Computer.
Oh, the Bootsers, I think?
Bruisers. Booze's Coffee House. There's one up there also. So and there's also one up there at Moscow Co-op that I put up there too. So they will see them quite a ways in town that way. I passed it out before the 3rd that way when, of August, so it was up there.
Yeah.
And so they'll be able to see that kind of information if they want to help support that.
Yeah, it's really, really great, Steve, that you're helping, you know, put flyers up and all these different kinds of things.
That's something that Cindy used to do,
community.
And she's so busy helping out with other people come in, and she's not able to do that.
So. Right, so she's actually, she does peer support.
Yeah, she's a
coaching.
Peer volunteer coach and support.
Yeah, right, and so now she gets to sit one-on-one with more people and help with the different programs that are going on there. So
and
really,
once a week, you'll see sometimes that even if Daryl doesn't ask me or RJ, I will take a broom and dustpan and go up and down the sidewalks up to Friendship Square, sweeping the garbage and the cigarette butts and any leaves, and then I'll cross over and go to the other side and make a full circle or something like that. That's something that I usually do because that's something that Cindy used to do and doesn't have time for. And then in the wintertime when it snows, I help shovel the snow off of the front walkway and the back walkway. Sometimes I go as far up as Mikey's and then go on down to one world that way and help out that way, so it makes keep the customers from slipping and sliding on the sidewalk that way.
Yeah, Steve,
so they don't get hurt.
It sounds like you're helping out in the community, you know, and that's really a great thing to be able to do with your time.
Yeah, I enjoy doing what I do. I just can't give any people's who goes in there because that's against the company policy to because of rules and regulations on that. I'm not allowed to say who's all in there because I don't want to get in trouble and get other people in trouble. And that's confidential.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Confidentiality rule about that.
So. Right. So as far as I know, so the Late Child Recovery Center, the panel of people who, let's see what we'd call it. I'm so sorry. It's been a week. who are on the board are made up of half people in recovery and have people who are just, you know, citizens here in Moscow who are interested, may have family members and things like that. So to be doing the peer support volunteer, you are a person in recovery for that position. But as a volunteer, you don't have to be a person in recovery to help your wife out and to help out the Late Child Recovery Center by
reason
volunteering.
Reason why I help out my
time.
Wife is she's so lovely and beautiful.
She is.
I've been married to her for 22 years.
Wow.
And we went out for 3 years before that to get to know one another. So
we've
been together for 25 years that way.
Wow.
And I'm just thankful that I got someone as beautiful and lovely as a wife, Cindy. Even though when I learned that she had epilepsy when I first went out with her, it didn't bother me at all because once I saw how beautiful she was, I fell in love with her anyway, and I learned to accept her for who she was.
Yeah.
And just because she had epilepsy, I found out that the doctors told her she couldn't have children because they would wind up, if she carried them full term, might wind up stillborn or have birth defects. So I said, not a problem. We'll just have animals like cats or rabbits as our own children that way. And as long as we have each other, that's what counts.
And
I had my disabilities also as bad eyes because I got it from my dad's side of the family. When his grandfather and he had bad eyes, I got it. And that made me have a learning disability and slow reading and learning that way too. So it kind of made made me hard to be able to keep up with normal studying is a higher level in high school that way. So I was lucky that I was able to pass high school at the sixth grade level that way, but Cindy accepted me for who I was and didn't hold it against me or my difficult, my handicap, so we wound up fitting right in. And once we got into Special Olympics, we found other people who had the same special needs, and we blended right in that way.
That's awesome.
Plus, also, Cindy's Native American on her dad's side. She's got Cherokee in her from her dad's side. Cindy's quarter and her dad is half. And that made her just as beautiful from that. We went to powwows down there and we learned their customs. And so when we come to powwows up here at the university, we know the same customs because of the same regulations as the customers down there in the Medford, Oregon, was the same ways as up here. So we always obeyed the customs and was always really good at the powwows. And I got to help out this year, volunteer at the powwow in the spring at the university. I wound up helping sweep and take the trash, and it was made me feel good that I was able to help out the Native American people that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you really have contributed. You and your wife have contributed a lot of your time and to helping out in your community. That's really amazing in different ways, even not just at the recovery center, but pretty much everywhere that you go. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I enjoy being around the Native American people. They are really nice that way. And it's not their fault that they got a bad end of the deal from the government and always have to be on the reservations. And the in the 1800s, the white man always thought of them as savages. I'm around them all the time now. They don't look like they're savage or harmful to anybody. They are just as sweet as can be to everybody else that way. So I don't understand how white men wound up calling them savages and want to wind up killing them and hurting them and all that. It made me feel really bad just seeing something like that in the movies or on TV and all that. It made me feel bad. That's why I wanted to go out of my way to help help them out, to show that there's one good white man out there that will go and help contribute to their causes and show them that they're nice. And since I wound up doing that down there in Medford, and I helped a medicine man named Sunbear out down there in Medford, they wound up giving me a Native American name called Good Bear, because I helped carry his heavy trunk with his regalia into the locker room so he could get into it. Then I carried it out to his truck afterwards and called me Good Bear because I helped him out that way. And so I got a Native name as Good Bear because I helped those guys out. And that's why I like to help out the Natives in the community that way, because it's a good, makes me feel good to do that for them.
Yeah, it really sounds to me like you are a type of person who would help anyone in need. Pretty much, if you walked by even someone who you didn't even know, you would stop and help them.
Of course, because we had problems, and when I was a teenager, we didn't have any water on our property. The second well that we had drilled caved in about 80 feet straight down, and we lost the drill bit, so they had to dig a second one. When they went, they dug that like 250 feet down, and only had 80 feet of casing. So when they put 80 feet of casing, the rest of the way down, they were hitting shale and mud and all that. That made the water come out really dirty, and where we couldn't use it for drinking. So we had to haul water from the neighbors, and they'd always help since we had like gallons and 5 gallon buckets for drinking water. We also filled up the 50 gallon barrels, and the neighbors would help us bring the water down to our place out in the country, and we had to carry them up by bucket loads to help feed the animals and just to live off them. So I figured if the neighbors would be able to help us with that, and then there was the same neighbor would offer rides to me and my sister, my brothers, the school bus that way because it was a mile down the road to catch the school bus when we were going to school. So that's what made me want to help other people. That we had good neighbors that would help us. So it's like, okay, it's my turn to help out when I need to that way.
Yeah. So as a child, you know, people showed you how much that can really change your life. That's amazing. Hi. And so that generosity, you've passed that generosity on. Oh, okay. So you pass that generosity on as you learned it as a child, and yeah, you do that as an adult as well. That's
my
great
mom says, you always do good things to other people, and they will do good things to you. And that's why also I was told you never say anything bad to other people that way. Yeah. You always want to my mom says if you say good, if you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all. And yeah, always be good and courteous that way to somebody. And so that's the way I was brought up. It's an old-fashioned tradition that way. Yeah. So
I was going to say, I've heard the same thing from my parents and probably my grandmother. I'm going to turn 45 next month. And so as I think as we were kids, we did hear that. I totally remember hearing that a bunch of times. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. And that's funny because I think I've forgotten that one recently, is I need to tell my little girls that because they get into bickering every now and then, bless their hearts. But
plus, I also keep in good condition by splitting firewood. Mm-hmm. I do that so Cindy and I have heat. And mm-hmm, I did that ever since I was 12 years old in Medford, Oregon. Mm-hmm. My mom had a wood cook stove and wanted to can some tomatoes for preserves and make mm-hmm jelly and jam. Well, sure, when we first moved up from the San Jose area mm-hmm in 76, it was like 115 out, and that's when I had go out with an axe and chop two, three wash tub loads, those round wash tubs that you'd wash your animals with, like dogs, sure, mm-hmm, for firewood, for cannon. And I never did that before, and using an axe, and it took me 3 hours to fill up one wash tub because sure, I never did that. I was from the city and didn't have not any muscles at all, and got a lot of blisters on running on my hand, and mm-hmm so made it longer. But then after I did that, it was an everyday occurrence of splitting firewood mm-hmm and chopping it. I got in good condition that way.
Yeah.
And I used my brother's 8-pound splitting maw, Williams. And I keep it nice and sharp using a file, and it goes through it like butter. Mm. I don't have to do much work, and here I'm almost 54, and I'm in good condition for splitting firewood.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And you're saving a ton of money on your heating bill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's really
because,
great. That makes your place warm.
The gas up there in Spokane, they like to raise it every 6%. Every year that way, out of from a vista, and so it's like we can't always afford something like that. So we mm-hmm only use gas when necessary. So I keep the heating stove going all the time, and mm-hmm I kind of bank it so it lasts all night that way. Mm-hmm. And we have a ceiling fan that keeps the hot in the bedroom that way, mm-hmm, nice and toasty that way. So this last winter when it got down to minus zero, we were nice and warm because I kept it warm mm-hmm for us and our animals in there from mm-hmm the wood that way. And we mm-hmm always went and got seasoned wood. I did not burn any green wood. Mm-hmm. So anything that was always dead and seasoned, I threw in there.
That's excellent. That's a great way. I mean, it is. It's a lot of work. My husband and I had a house out on Highway 8 for quite a while, and we had a wood-burning stove. We did have other heat that we used when we needed to, but boy, I mean, that was a lot of work. I didn't help out. I'll just own that right now. He did all of that, but it does. It really does warm up the house. There's just something about those wood-burning stoves. I'm assuming that's what you have,
mm-hmm,
and it really does stay warm and helps out in those extreme cold times. It really does, and with the fans and stuff. That's awesome.
All you have to do is just change the ash pan underneath every other day.
Got to get air in there, right?
And you balance off the air when you first start it. And then once it gets it going for 5 minutes and gets going, then I just shut the door down below and it stays going. And then when it goes all the way out, you down the coals, you add a couple more pieces and it keeps it going.
Yeah.
And then I give the gloves to my wife Cindy. So when I'm at work, I show her, okay, this is what you throw in. Here's the gloves, and she keeps it going when I'm at work. And then I come home and I do the final touches, like the banking and the stoking of it, to keep it going at night that way. So.
Yeah. Well, 25 years together, is that what you were saying, you and Cindy? Mm-hmm. That's amazing, and it just really sounds like that you two have found. A lot of things to do together that you enjoy, and you join each other and do life together. That's
because
awesome.
Because my dad's aunt told my dad's sister, which is my aunt Miriam on my dad's side, told me before she died of cancer in the 80s or something like that. I remember last time I saw her, she said, Steve, next, if you ever meet a somebody, a good partner, make sure that they have the same thing in common as both of you. If you have the same things in common and same interest and if you both are handicapped or something like that, and you find a handicapped girl or something, and you have the same interest, you'll make a good companion. But if you wind up running into somebody who is highly more like a speed reader or something like that, and you're a handicapped, they won't accept you for who you are, and so you won't get a very good companion. And so you have to be able to find somebody that is good compatibility with you that way, and make a good partner. And that's what I did. I found out from Cindy, and we went out for 3 years to get time to know one another. And after the third year, we got married. Cindy had a relative that told her if she didn't get married before she was 30, she'd be an old maid. Well, Cindy got married 2 days before her 30th birthday on May 24th, and her birthday was May 26th. So we've been married since then.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think 29 to get married is a great year. That's good. I think I was about that age when I got married as well. And I say that because then you've kind of had some time to, you know, experience life, go through school, whatever you want to do. And I don't know, I just think by the time we're that age, we're a little more settled down and stuff.
Sure, I didn't have the money, much money to go out and do fun things because all my jobs that I had down there in Oregon were always 5 or 10 cents above minimum wage to just keep the bills going. We weren't able to go out and do fun things like camping and fishing and traveling around and always having to do good things. But at least we were with each other and we kept the bills going and all that. But when I'm with Cindy, I got that same impression, beliefs as Charles Ingalls did on Little House on the Prairie when Mr. Olson said, Charles, you must feel like you're $1 million right now. And he says, yep, I feel like $1 million with my kids being around me, the richest man in the world. So it's like, okay, with Cindy, I feel like I'm the richest man in the world with Cindy that way. I do everything I can to take good care of her and to make sure her needs are met over mine, and I just I'm a good old-fashioned husband that likes to take good care of her, and also if it's easier on her to help out any way I can, I will.
That's awesome. So we need to we're gonna go to a song and finish up. I just want to say thank you so much, Steve, for coming on and sharing your story and also information about the Lake Tahoe Recovery Center. It was just a pleasure. Seriously, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a dirty job, but someone had to do it.
Right?
This
there
is
we go.
Steve signing out from Moscow, radio station,
KARP,
saying nano nano to any of the olds who remembered Mark and Mindy. So, nano nano to you, and as Mr. Spock would say on Star Trek, live long and prosper, because it's a logical thing to do.
All right. Thanks, Steve. You're listening to KARP in Moscow, Pullman. And this is Recovery Radio. Thanks.